Hi, I'm Rhonda Began, one of the executive leadership coaches at Living Wholehearted. And I love what I do as a coach, especially in our cohort setting. That's why I'm excited to tell you that we are starting a 2-year women's executive leadership cohort in April of this year. And I don't want you to miss out. You might think as a leader, there's no way I can take 2 years to do anything. But we designed our cohort specifically to be doable for the high-level leader. Through one-on-one coaching that is easy to schedule, to once-a-month virtual group coaching, and then 4 amazing retreats at our Living Wholehearted Lodge and Retreat in beautiful Sherwood, Oregon, in the heart of wine country. We will look at who you are and how your story matters. We'll look at how you're wired and why it's important to be who you are. And then we'll look at how you have the potential to impact not just your leadership, but your family, your community, and your world. Hope you join us.
That pushback often gets, sometimes we in a Western culture focus too much on personality assessments. Mm-hmm. And the core values actually goes beautifully with keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, that anxious, that learning to shift. But it gives us a beautiful roadmap to be known and to know others, to love God and to love others as we love ourselves.
All right, welcome back to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. I'm Jeff. I'm Jeff. It's Tara.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on? You look cute today.
Oh, thank you.
I love those bangs. They're new.
You match the backdrop. You're like blending into the green in the back.
It's hard
Hunter.
To find me.
You in Hunter mode?
I mean, I could have wore camo, but I didn't because you wouldn't let me.
Oh, I just posted. You didn't know this. So this might bring up conflict, which is what we're going to talk about today. Through core values. We're going to do part 2 from episode 241 where we talk about conflict strategies. So bear with me.
What did you do?
I'm going to announce in front of everyone. I posted on my Instagram in my stories. So it was only up for 24 hours. But I saw this reel and it so reminded me of you. So the woman's like, here's my husband in pictures with me. And she's like smiling while her husband is just like dead faced or looks really annoyed and he's not really present. And then she shows pictures of when he catches a fish. Smile and he's like showing off the fish and she's like, why can't you pose with his fishes when he has his fish?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the same. I smile the same way.
Oh, when you I'm do not with you. Like the camera when I am. Well, thank you.
Okay, but the best is when you're fishing with me. That's when I really go all
pose.
Out. I get
you'll
so excited.
That. That's true. There's we no would get a great grin from you.
There is no that. Posing. I don't pose. I feel. I feel deeply. Just comes out. If it's not there, it's not there.
Not when I want to take a picture. So all that to say, I just posted that and it was just like, oh my gosh, too close to home. But this reminded me right here, this outfit of the man that I married, who his favorite outfit, you guys, if you've ever seen.
It's a collared shirt.
No.
Button up.
This is a conflict in our relationship is, Jeff, are you wearing that? Because your best outfits or your favorite outfits, you look like Bear Grylls.
Yeah. He has like a billion followers, honey. That's important to you, not to me.
It's not really important to me.
I was just trying to see. We're talking about conflict. See how I
do you even know me? Do you know who I am? After all these years, Jeff Mattson.
This is great.
Well, we are here.
See how quickly I can trigger my wife?
I know. Okay, so we're here to talk about conflict through the lens of Core Values Index. And we did a lot of defining and actually going through each of the core values and what the conflict strategies look like in part 1 of this. Mm-hmm. So again, you want to go back and listen to that episode 241. Am I saying it? Is it 241?
I don't know. There's been so many.
Okay, why don't you start defining while I look?
Okay.
You define, not define, name.
Okay,
that's a good clarifier.
Name. All right, so there's 4 core values. We've talked about those in the past. Every person has some of all 4 values. And in all of these kinds of assessments, there's a shadow side, a dark side. So to name them, the builder's conflict strategy is intimidation. Mm. This is where everything goes fast for builders in the best of who they are. And so when the motive changes from wanting to give the best, leading to action and results, The motive changes then to self-protect, to hurt, or to get people out of your way so you can get the action results you want. You can do so through intimidation. And on the merchant side of things, merchants are our people, and they are vulnerable when love, their core values aren't honored. They're vulnerable to manipulate, essentially, instead of giving the love and the truth in the way that they're wired to give that from a beautiful contribution. Motive changes. Now they're in self-protection mode or worse, and they're going to utilize a manipulative strategy to get their needs met, of being seen as the loving one or the truthful one, met in an unhealthy way. For innovators, they value wisdom. They see options and complexity so well. And so when their wisdom isn't heard, then they're vulnerable to use interrogation, where they're, again, the motive has changed. Now they're going to not come out the fool, because that's like not going to happen for an innovator in the worst of their conflict strategy. They got to win. So they're going to posture their wisdom above any other.
No.
Pseudo wisdom. That's a builder.
That's a builder is a winner. Innovators they fear foolish decisions. They really don't want to be a part of anything foolish. Mm-hmm. It's not about winning for an innovator.
It's about
that's a builder's perception of an innovator.
Being seen as the wise one. Being seen as the wise one. So that's just a reframe.
So maybe in your mind that was winning.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Got it.
And then lastly, but not least, is the bankers, who are about knowledge and justice. And really, it's just that's such a passion for them. So when their knowledge isn't being honored, or their sense of justice, of fairness, isn't being honored, they can be vulnerable to withdrawing in aloof judgment. Always some form of withdrawal for a banker. And there's lots of nuance in all of the things that I've just shared here, as you can tell.
Okay, I'm laughing because I just modeled what innovators, like, in their worst, need to have the last word when I said in. So I'm like, oh, I just did it in real time. But I think that was a genuine part of my innovator. That wasn't my interrogator, because my interrogator can get pretty ugly. Okay. All right. So here's the piece that I wanted to confirm. And because I am not as detailed, I wanted to double check. It is episode 241. So we went into more depth for a good hour, talking through what each of those look like, what triggers them, and how all of us can end up in our conflict strategies. And we are more than one core value. If you've hung around with us for a while, if you pay for the full version, which is $49.95, you actually get your full results with your numbers. And so many people have 2, 3, some have all 4 core values, access to all 4 core values with a higher number.
And they're more of a balanced square.
And they're going to use all of their strategies, whereas somebody who has maybe a profound number or 2 higher ones, they usually use their 2 strategies. So nobody's just one core value and uses one conflict strategy. And so as we talk about how do you actually move through conflict using the CBI tool, this is a tidbit for you. We know that it could get a little confusing for those of you that this is brand new to, but if you've been around us for a while, this is where we really help coach couples, parents, organizational teams, and really help leaders move into wholehearted leadership to be able to be healthy leaders who aren't living and leading out of their conflict strategies, but out of the best of who they are.
Yeah, and we've used so many tools over the last couple decades, but 14 years ago, we discovered the CVI by another mental health professional. And after a couple years of vetting this instrument, then introducing it to our clients, both for Tara in the clinical space and for me in the executive coaching and organizational development space, we've just dropped all the other instruments. It's the most effective tool that we know of. And it makes conflict predictable, which actually is amazing. It seems ridiculous to even say that, but because of the reliability of this index, you can take confidence in seeing yourself, how you've gotten into any conflict you've gotten into long over the arc of your whole life. And then when you get 2 graphs, for example, two reports next to each other, we can read and interpret that and literally predict the conflicts that people have had. Yeah. And then the encouraging part about that, which is I think where we're going to focus mostly today, is what do you do about it?
Yeah.
How do you actually regulate better for yourself and help others regulate if you're able to do it and they're dysregulated. So this is so encouraging. And in my own life, I'll just simply say this. This is one of those gold nuggets of this tool that has really impacted my ability to grow as a person and meet kind of the goals that I'm having in my life, which is to be a better human being. I mean, as you know, as a kind of a big picture goal, be more like Jesus is what I'm shooting for. That's an everyday battle. There's ups and downs and all of that.
And you have the help of the Holy Spirit to help you with that. So it's not a white knuckling on our own. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
So we
team together to, that's one of the things why we were even talking about this tool. We teamed and used this thing in our relationship together with our kids in our family system. We got two teenage daughters right now. We have this language that we utilize because it's so effective. It helps us to understand each other, to see each other, to help each other.
I love how passionate you are about the core values index. So, again, if this is new to you, we talk about it throughout our podcast. You can kind of find some of the core values if you want to get some backtrack. But we're jumping in the deep end of the pool, which is one of the final resources we give to organizational teams and to couples and to families. So here's what we're going to talk about is how to use the CVI to shift. And so that is, there is a process, there's some steps to get there. And then we're going to talk about what shifting means. First step before you can shift is you first have to really get comfortable identifying what your conflict strategies are. Yeah. Initially, when we're introduced to our own wirings, we often minimize our conflict strategies. We get confused, we get defensive about them. It's because we're in our conflict strategy. But the more that we can be aware to say, I'm human, I definitely am impacted by my story and the triggers around me, it is impossible to move through a relationship and to not be affected by other core values. You'll notice that even if you don't have, you have a smaller number in a core value, those people with that wiring are going to trigger you, and you'll want to go into your conflict strategy in order to have your core value heard or known in the relationship. So first step is you've got to get familiar. What does your innovator, interrogator feel like, sound like? What does your merchant, manipulator feel like, look like? Banker's judgment, aloof judgment, and the builder's intimidator. So if once you've really identified and kind of noticed what that's looking like, this is where coaching and counseling helps when we come in and we help you with mirroring that back and getting that identified with grace, not shame, but a sense of we all struggle here. Let's just work on noticing it. First step. Yeah. Then second step is actually acting to shift. So Jeff, why don't you talk a little bit about the anxiety system that sets us up for shifting?
Yeah, and this is really tied to what you just said about noticing. The first thing to notice is what's going on in your body, because anxiety is the first thing that shows up as a warning system for us in the CVI framework. And taking a good theology, we know that God made our bodies, everything about us, and our bodies are part of how he communicates to us. Our bodies get our attention if we pay attention. I remember when you asked me when we were first exploring this, and you were like, we were talking about how does anxiety show up in your body, and you had a specific answer pretty quick for yourself. I was like, I don't know, and you said, well, I know. I mean, well, what do you mean? He said, you clench your jaw, so I do this.
Yeah.
And then I did this with my hands if my arms are hanging down, and I was like, no, I don't. And you're like, yes,
and
you
this,
do.
If you're listening and not seeing us, it's he's squeezing his hands and clenching his jaw.
And I said, I don't do that. And you're like, yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. And so then I spent the next week like Ben Franklining, totally inventory, monitoring my behavior. And oh my gosh, I caught myself doing that. And I came back to you, if you remember right. And I was like, okay, so I was wrong. I do that. What's next? And then you're so excited to tell me about
it. I love how you remember it as you were so humble and saying, I was wrong. Well, I don't remember it that way.
Oh, I caught myself. I had to come back and do that and own it.
I'm teasing you. I'm totally teasing
you. You were right. And so really, do you know how your body responds to anxiety and stress?
Yeah.
The reason why I didn't, and many of the listeners, male or female, might relate to this, is that in my builder wiring, that's my second highest core value. I'm always just doing stuff. In fact, I get
not internal.
I'm into action and results and physical. I'm a kinesthetic learner in that way. I'm the kind of person that gets cuts and don't even know that I'm bleeding, and someone goes, "You're bleeding," you know, or you. I just kind of you're movers, and so anyhow, paying attention to that.
don't move past that. That's one reason. The other reason is for all the rest of people that didn't grow up in systems or practice slowing down and actually noticing. Most family systems that are performance-based then are worked that are focused on action and performance, getting the A+, not really focused on how do you feel, what are you thinking right now, what's happening in your body. That's a different kind of parenting in a family system. So I would say if you've got builder and you're action-oriented, but also if you're you just grew up in a family that just didn't ever talk like this.
Yeah. And you, and maybe the mantra was suck it up or just we get stuff done, you know, whatever it is.
Or they just didn't know how. And maybe there's a loving family, but again, it's a lot of laughter and fun and experiences and not a lot of focusing on sadness and emotions.
Yes.
So it's not always the suck it up families.
Those are good examples. Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry, I interrupted.
So noticing in your body is an important step. It's actually the first step. So in the origins of conflict, this is sort of a flow that we offer and talk about through the lens of the Core Values Index. The first sign of making conflict predictable and understanding it is that a core value, you can only be in one at a time, a core value is not being honored. So in the case of the builder, for my example, builders' values are power and faith. They power is personal energy applied to make a positive difference. Builders in the best of who they want to make a positive difference. The faith is that internal kind of belief that I know what to do or will know what to do. So when one of those things is not honored, whether that's perceived by the builder or it actually is happening where someone's dishonoring a builder, like telling them that they can't do something, or really with body language and tone, just be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing. That would quickly, and everything happens quickly in the best of builders, but in the quickly anxiety would show up in my body like this. I would clench. That's where I start noticing that I clenched my jaw or did this cracking of my hand, fingers with my hands. What's the point of noticing that? Well, the point is that if I can catch myself doing those physical symptoms, I can shift, I can regulate better. I don't have to go to the dark side of intimidation, but let's just say that I don't. Let's say that in that moment of anxiety, which is a warning system, and God, in as creator of our bodies, this is where I was going earlier with this, is that he, for people who are followers of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus taught, teaches us in Romans, we learn. And so in that moment, it's like the Holy Spirit plus our bodies are alerting us to, hey, it's like a thought bubble. It's like, hey, you're about ready to kind of go to the darker side. And that is a moment, the key moment we got to shift. And we're talking about in a matter of seconds here, right? This isn't like a long process. In my mind, I got to notice I'm clenching my jaw, I'm doing this, and I need to make a key shift. If I don't, then what can happen is I'll begin to entertain a fear. And the fear for the builder in this case is, oh my gosh, maybe I don't know how to do this. I start questioning my own core values of the power. Maybe I can't get this done and make the difference that I want to. Mm. Questioning the power of the faith. If I enter that fear zone, it's inevitable. I'm going to use a tactic of intimidation to get this barrier that is in front of me, whether it's a person or a situation, out of my way. Out of my own insecurity, my motive has changed from wanting to give the best of my energy to make a difference, a positive difference, to now, like, in fear, self-protecting and coming out the one that knows what they're doing and is powerful and has confidence that but it's an arrogance at that point. Yeah. It's a difference. It's a misuse of power and faith.
Okay. Yes. Misuse of power and faith. And so that shifting from awareness of what's happening in the body. Jeff is speaking. We've got a spiritual component of God helping us. And we also just have the way that God made our brains, where the downstairs part of the brain is mapping everything out through sensory. And so even if I perceive, even if somebody is not actually dismissing or blocking my goals as a builder to get to action results, but if I perceive it that way, then my brain is going to kick in. And so reality versus perception is a real deal when it comes to the way our bodies are working in the world. And we get to lead them. We aren't a victim to what our brain is doing. We have to lead, but this takes practice and time. The more trauma and the more practiced we are in our conflict strategies, the longer this takes. You need more reps and practice and awareness, and usually a coach or a counselor to help. The more practiced we are in being able to shift from our dark side or our conflict strategies to the best of who we are, because we grew up in systems that helped us do that, and we've practiced this. We can be a little bit quicker along the way. But I say that in terms of grace and in compassion for ourselves as we're learning how to do this, as well as the people that we're practicing it with. So when Jeff, let's say I'm noticing that his body is starting to shift, we have a couple options to happen that are here. Jeff is responsible for himself. And he, in that moment, might say what if all of a sudden you're noticing your jaw's clenching, your hands, you're starting to move.
In the best of my efforts to regulate in that moment, I might say, I need to take a break. I'm starting to not be able to be at my best. And I'd like to just call a timeout. If I need a 30-minute timeout, because that like full on is going to, I'm going to lose it, dysregulate into intimidation, then I take that 30-minute timeout, because that's the time it takes for blood to be restored from my, where it's left, mm-hmm. my frontal lobe, yeah. to my amygdala. That's what it takes to get back all the way. If I need a 10-minute break just to go for a quick walk, exit the room, take some deep breaths, ground myself, and then come back, then I call for the break. And I also call the time in, right? So that it doesn't leave the other person hanging. And I'm calling it for me. I may also be calling that time out for us. If I see Tara struggling, you never call it for the other person. That doesn't work.
Yeah, you're actually calling it for yourself. So that's one option. Jeff would say, I need a break. And then I have to honor that, even though I might not want to, or I'm not done. I haven't said all my things yet. You know, I need to honor that one, because I don't want to head into a conflict. And so that's your why. Like, you're going to end up having to do a longer conversations, more repair. It's really inefficient. And so our pride kicks in, our conflict strategies kick in. And so it is just the wisest if someone calls a timeout, knowing that they're trying to protect each other from conflict strategies, honor that, as long as you're going to bring it back together. Mm-hmm. Other option is I can say something and say, and if I'm calm and I'm not in conflict strategy, I'm more likely going to notice. It's really hard to notice when your mind has been hijacked and you are in your conflict strategy. But if I'm calm, I could say, I'm noticing you're starting to get frustrated. Is there something in your builder that I'm missing here? Mm-hmm. And Jeff, in that moment, in his builder, is able to articulate the need that I'm missing. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about it maybe with a few other core values. But I would say I've heard him say, I've got a lot on my list of to do and I'm in the builder mode. So can you just tell me the bottom line right now? Oh, got it. Like, we're not just doing tea and chat right now, or we're not brainstorming 10 years out, which is where I tend to go. Jeff's like, right here, right now, tell me what you need. And he's not in conflict strategy. Yeah. He's actually saying, help me not go there, because here's what my builder needs right now. And if I can do that, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
It just gave us a really clear roadmap to miss and to divert from a collision in our conflict strategies.
Yeah. And I'll just say this, that we're just talking, hopefully this example is helpful to you to see our dynamic. And I'm builder's my second highest core value. Innovator is your second highest core value. And that's a classic battle between innovators and builders. Builders want to get stuff done, and you can only be in one core value at a time. And if you're an innovator and you're wanting to talk about options,
I want to do things wisely,
and you're wanting to do things wisely and have a conversation,
it takes time.
You can see how those two values we have to be aware of those values and those dynamics when we connect. And so being specific and communicating the way in which you provided the example is a beautiful example. When you see, as she said, someone beginning to feel like their body language is looking like they're heading towards conflict strategy,
right? Their voice raises.
Or there's anxiety. Mm-hmm. At the solution to a person that's heading, again, you're not responsible for my mm-hmm. conflict. I'm responsible for that. But a way in which you can help make it better rather than worse is to honor the value that you are seeing is being the person is in and is entering into conflict in. that's the quick antidote. Immediately start thinking, what, as you did, what do you know about Builder and how can I honor that? The great lead-in question is, hey, I must be missing something here. Mm-hmm. Is there something that I'm not honoring about, you know, your Builder right now as you're talking? That is the fastest way to get to that. Yes. help me, which is a loving thing to do to help me regulate. You're mm-hmm. not responsible for that, but you can make it better or worse. And you want to make it better. That's kind of the key. Should we flip it?
Yeah, let's flip it between our dynamics, and then we'll talk about a merchant and a banker. But the same kind of at practice is, can I get to what I need right now? And that might be taking time away or asking for what I need. Mm. Or if I see someone in my sphere that I'm going, oh gosh, how can I help you? What's going on right here? I'm noticing a shift happening. Okay, so now I'm offended in my innovator and I'm starting to go to interrogate. What do you notice about my interrogator?
Yeah, yeah. So you start interrupting. And so if I'm talking, but because essentially you're sensing that you're not being heard and you're wanting to share your wisdom, you're wanting to make sure I have the wisdom. And it's all for good. It's for good motive, right? There's something I'm not seeing that you're seeing, and you know that I need to see it and you want me to see it. So when I notice that you start interrupting, when I'm talking, or there's an impatience, I can ask this question. Hey, is this directly, I'm thinking about you as in your innovator. Am I missing something here? Is there more? And we use the term bees, more options, more things that you want to share that I need to hear that I'm not seeing. And so if I ask you that question, does that begin to help disarm that sense of anxiety of like, I'm not able to get out what I need to say and I don't need, and I'm not able to share what you need to even hear. Does that help when I kind of approach you in that posture?
Absolutely. And usually the interrogator, the interrupter, or that is saying, I have a lot of different things that I need, and the bees. So you've got the A at the center of the topic we're talking about. And there's a lot of bees and factors that I am trying to get out with my words, which is hard and difficult for innovators to do because there's a lot that goes on in the head really fast. And I'm ahead, I'm 10 feet ahead. And so I have to work really hard to stay present and to give you all the steps. Yeah. For higher innovators, giving and saying all the steps along the way gets really hard. And so for the rest of the core values to be patient, to give me a chance to explain all of those, which feels long-winded sometimes. So when you ask, then I know that you're in a posture of, I'm willing to hear that. And so it helps calm me down to go, okay, I don't have to talk really fast. And I'm not as afraid that we're going to make a decision. We're going to act before we've considered all of the bees. We literally just had this morning. Can I give that example? Sure. As we're trying to plot out a road trip. Fun. Woohoo. We're plotting out a road trip, just trying to get actions and results with a quick
reservation
for an RV. And because of our relationship, we've learned he needs to ask me, are there any bees? And so he'll just check in. He'll just say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this from this time to this time. Anything that you're seeing that I might have missed? I didn't have time to do it in the moment. And so I start to feel anxious. That's innovator. Innovator need time. To offer my best wisdom and options, I need time.
Yo, innovator need time.
Yo, is that how I said it?
You said innovator need time. That was cute. She was already thinking about what else she was going to say.
Okay. Yes.
Sometimes I go too fast. Innovator needs complete sentences.
Well, that said, I'm sure you guys feel good listening. You probably turned us off if you're like, I don't really want to learn all about their marriage. But these are examples that all couples and all org teams and all parents and children run into. Sure. Time, if you rush an innovator and you say, now I need you to consider, they're tempted to go to conflict strategy. So I had to breathe. I said, I can't do it right now. Give me a little bit of time and tomorrow you should be able to make a decision. Is there a consequence if we wait till tomorrow? And Jeff says, tomorrow's great. So then this morning, Jeff's like, hey, did you get to all of that? And I'm like, nope, I didn't. So we quickly start going through, and there were several things that I was holding in my head that I was able to articulate that actually did impact
the decision. Things that I hadn't thought of, which is very good.
And so we've learned over time. In the old days, Jeff just would have done it. I would have thought, yay, and then come in with my bees later and we missed the boat. We made, you know, we could have
Clash of the Titans.
Yeah. Or Jeff would have rushed me and I would have melted down and not even gotten to my bees because I'm just in my conflict strategy and overwhelmed. And now we missed the deal that we were going to get on the RV. So those are kinds of the consequences. The best of the scenario is we both had to work to stay regulated. Jeff's being patient with me as I'm trying to drag this out a little more. Yeah. But he knows it's worth it because Tara might have a couple things I'm not seeing in her context of innovator. And I'm working to try to move faster in Jeff's builder timeline and offering him. Am I doing it well? No, I probably was being really direct. Or
well, what also is important, the whole goal of the, using this framework is honor the values in yourself and in others. And so one of the ways in which that works for both of us, because it's not just that one person always gets their way and the other doesn't. It's actually to say this, to say, I can see that you have some more bees, some more things that you're thinking through. How many more do you have? How long do you think it might take to share those? And if I'm asking that in an honoring way, not in a patronizing way, that's the win. And so that's how I can honor the builder side of me, which only has X number of minutes to give. And I can, it helps me to stay on track. If she says I've got three Bs, then I don't have to think about, I need to listen well for those three. And if she happens to have more later, that's okay. But it's helping to discern and understand and set each other up for success in a conversation.
I had a thought just because clients will ask this and sometimes it's just a reality. You know, we could have gone through that whole situation around booking this RV. And at the end of the day, I could have just said, I'm not available. I cannot, because of whatever was going on in my life, I cannot get to that and make that decision now. Jeff would have to just say, you know what? It's not the right timing. We're going to have to trust God in getting a better deal. Maybe next week we might lose out on the RV. Okay. But that's a minute example of what happens in relationship, that we have to trust God too, that he's using both of our wirings to get us to something better or down the road. And sometimes one of us might be fixated on an outcome, but the best of the decisions are when a team comes together and actually is working together. So in worst case scenario, I would be like, I can't work on that timeline. And I either have to trust Jeff to make a decision and have some of the bees missed, or he needs to say, you know what? It's not worth it. We're going to wait till we can do this well together. Those are the choices.
Yeah, we have. If I can, I usually do, because I've learned that we will make our best decisions when we get a chance to evaluate and use both of our wired strengths.
That's true as a like an org team too, right?
It's true
like
in
often
any
a
system.
Leader will make a unilateral decision and they didn't consider all the other core values and the other voices. And it's much a better decision. It takes a little bit longer. But we're panicked in like, we've got to do this now, when God's actually using the process to help grow us all and to get to a better decision for the long run.
Before we move to merchant and banker, I think we want to just provide some insight because we've talked about the other person's not responsible for the other's conflict strategies or their regulation and ability to regulate. Let's talk for a quick second about how you as an individual take the first steps. And I think that's kind of the key shift that we've been talking about. So in that moment of anxiety, and when the warning signs physically are showing up, I've trained myself over a lot of years now to notice that as quickly as possible. Do I always do it? No. And the tricky part is having expertise in this is that when I choose to go to ignore those things and go to my conflict strategy, I know how I got there and I know better. So there's has to be grace even for yourself in this process as you apply this wisdom. Okay, well, so before we move on to merchant and banker, I think it's kind of important to really talk a little bit about what we can do individually to help regulate and avoid our conflict strategies. And so the first thing that as we discussed, when you sense in your body and you notice those physical signs, so know yourself, right? And pay attention to that. In that moment of anxiety and your body showing that anxiety through its expressions, that's where you need to make the shift. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit and your body is warning you, alerting you. If you don't pay attention to this, you're going to enter the dark side, your conflict strategy. So for most of us as listeners, what does that shift look like? You cannot solve conflict from the core value you are in conflict in. You have to give yourself some distance by shifting to a different core value that you have. And for most of us, the right amount of distance is going to be our third in number, most accessible, but perhaps least integrated core value. I know that's kind of complicated. Most accessible, but least integrated. So I'm a 25 merchant, and out of the numbers, you know that there's 1 to 36. The higher the number, the more a person relates to the attribute of the value. The lower the number, the less you relate to the attributes of that value. So as I'm a 25 merchant, that's my first. My second is 21 builder. My third is my secret value, the one I have to shift to. It's 15 and is an innovator. And what does that look like? So most of my conflicts are going to happen in merchant or in builder. And builders, a lot of where conflict will show up for me. So what happens is that when I'm feeling that anxiety, someone is challenging, whether it's a perception I have that they're challenging my power or faith, or it's actually happening. In the moment of anxiety, when I clench my jaw or notice my hands cracking my knuckles, I have asked myself this question. I shift away from my builder that's heading to conflict, shift over to innovator in my mind, and it's literally a matter of seconds. We're talking 2 or 3 seconds. And I ask myself a very poignant question that I value, because I value wisdom in my innovator. But it takes me some effort to get to that value at 15. It takes intention. And so with intention, I've been practicing this. What would the voice of wisdom say? You know, in myself, what I need more than anything in moments where I want to act quickly in my builder or intimidate and use that as a tactic to get people out of my way, barriers out of my way, so I could get the action and results I want. I need in that moment options that are not in my head or in my body, because I'm so in builder, tunnel focused. And tunnel focus is not a problem. It's really actually a gift that builders have. But with the wrong motive, it is not good. It's intimidating and it is never good. So what I need is more options. So I shift to my innovator. What would the voice of wisdom say? And what the voice of wisdom often will say is, Jeff, take that time out that we just talked about briefly. Or it might say,
Ask Tara.
Or it might say, Tara, acknowledge that you're having a difficult time and that you're starting to...
Slows you down.
You're starting to get flooded, you know, in my brain or in my body. And so that is what the goal is individually, is to travel. Most of you need to go to your third, because it's just far enough distance wise into how God made you to be able to get the perspective you need in that moment. Some of you are wired so high in your first, and there's a lot of distance between your first and your second numerically. So it might be that your second is the one that you go to in that case, because it's pretty obvious that you're going to get in conflict into that first core value that's so high in number. Some of you are balanced in your graph, which is all four numbers are really closely together. The great news is that you have all the strengths of those four core values, but the bad news is that you have access to all four conflict strategies. And so you've got options though. Whatever core value you're in, if you're a balanced graph and you really are more square in shape, shift out of that core value that is beginning to be in conflict. And you got three other ones that you can ask, three other questions or core values that you could shift to. One of them is going to help you calm down more than the other, though.
Yeah.
That's the secret. Yeah. Which core value is going to help you calm down?
Yeah, well said, Jeff. So the four questions are this, based on whatever your third or possibly your second, depending on your numbers, is, you know, for the innovator, it's what would wisdom say? Usually it's wisdom says, let's get more information or let's take some more time to really sit on this. And so it does slow Jeff down, which is what innovators naturally do, is we go slow before we make a decision and we act. Merchants, what's the most loving thing I could say? And sometimes it's to myself.
Or do.
Like, yeah. I might need to actually offer more love to myself in a situation or conflict, or to the other person. How might I, if Jeff's wanting, you know, to move forward, the loving thing might be to just soften the tone and give some time for somebody to verbally process. Builders, what is the next right step is how I usually say it, but what it would power do? It's an action oriented.
Yeah. What action can I take?
And it's literally like the next step. So for like an innovator or a banker who wants to like figure out the whole thing first, or the merchant who's overwhelmed by everybody, how everybody feels about something and all the conflict, the builder's just like, just take the next step. Like,
but this it has is to be, what's the do. Next positive step?
Good.
It needs to be positive for them and for others. It can't just be a win for them.
And then the banker's question is, what do I know to be true or the facts. And so this is my question. And my merchant and my innovator are so profound, and I'm running in all cylinders in those. This slows me down to actually get into the weeds and go, okay. So example would be like really overwhelmed and excited about what plans we're going to have for a vacation and dreaming and really big, and then wondering, you know, making sure everybody's going to be doing, feeling good about it. And then I need to kind of anchor in to make a really good decision. I need to get into the banker and to say, what is this actually going to cost? What are the actual dates we can we do this? So that's how, what are the facts? What are the details? And that really helps anchor those of us with that as a third. There's a lot of examples we can give there, but that is another strategy outside of the ones that we're talking about of either you taking a break, slowing down, taking care of that core value, you helping somebody else by attuning to that core value. What does that core value need? Mm-hmm. The third is to shift within yourself. Jeff and I can both be doing this in real time. Mm-hmm. Me thinking, slow down, Tara, hear the facts, hear what Jeff's actually saying, not what you think he's saying, hear what he's actually saying. Go back to the text and read the text, Tara. Like, this is my own work that I'm working on.
And when you do that, that helps you stay, then be able to come back to your innovator or your merchant, whichever one you were in, and stay in the best of your merchant and your innovator, giving love and truth or giving wisdom, more options, more complexity from a healthy place, right? Yeah. And that's the goal. And for me, when I shift away to my innovator, my third, and ask what would wisdom say, and I get options, I can then go back to my builder and still use my builder to make a positive difference, right? To help us get into action that would lead to a positive result from a good place, a right motive. Motive is everything in this. And we love that verse in Proverbs 16:2, all a person's ways seem innocent to them. Motives are weighed by the Lord. And so with this, that dovetails so well with this framework about discerning when our motive shifts from wanting to give the best of our core value to self-protecting and entering our conflict strategy to take and use others to get our needs met in unhealthy ways.
So good. So the core values index, we like it so much because it's so versatile. We can use it to help with what brings us energy, how we time manage and budget, what kind of career we go into, where, how we spend and prioritize our time and energy, how we communicate, how do we love ourselves and love others, all these things. But the conflict is like the gold, because a lot of assessments don't give us this kind of roadmap, especially so quickly. I don't even have to know somebody's core values. I don't have to have the graph to be able to help them when I'm noticing a shift happening and I can attune based on communication styles and based on conflict strategies, what somebody's core value I might have offended.
Kind of reverse engineer.
Yeah. So again, when somebody's very brief with me and direct, I'm like, oh, they're a builder. I'm not offended that it sounds really mean. My merchant is like, could you have just asked me how I am first? So now I'm like, oh yeah, they're just being direct and they need direct communication. So I'm going to be direct back. I'm not going to spend an hour talking about my day. That's the way that we start to tune in and to really use this in every relationship.
To honor.
Yeah. And to do what the scriptures say is to love others well. We even know even how we hear God and relate to God and do our quiet times. We can learn that through our core values, even parenting. So we're going to use parenting as an example when it comes to the merchant and the banker example. And we'll end on that. Okay. We'll use a scenario when the banker has been offended. Now, neither Jeff or I are primary bankers. I have a third banker, but barely. So I rarely get offended, but I do sometimes in my banker. Our daughter is a banker, and we're not going to use anything really personal because that just wouldn't be cool as parents of teenagers, right? So, but maybe just the fact, maybe a sample of how do we know when Adonai's banker has been bumped up against, and we start to notice she's possibly going to be moving into conflict strategy, which is to pull away and to shut down and to be like, I'm not going to offer you guys any of my facts or my wisdom or anything that I have holding.
Well, it starts to build up for her. And something that we know as a means of attuning to her is when she starts getting a little judgy, a little bit anxious about people doing or not doing what they are supposed to be doing and what we agreed on and what's fair, right? So that sense of knowledge and justice, which is the banker's values. And so when I said, when we sense that anxiety in her and she, it kind of comes out of her mouth or her body language is, she's making eye contact at us, but she's looking at other people that need to do what they're supposed to do, like her younger sister and in chores, we can tell that, that she needs that banker to be honored. Yeah. There's information that she needs to share. There's also, or things that we need to remember that have already been shared. And we need to bring that up in a way that there's understanding amongst all parties that are involved, all stakeholders. And when we do that, when we ask her, hey, are we missing something here? Is there a detail or a fact that we're sliding over or minimizing or we forgot? She feels like then she can share. Yes. And then she gets specific and detailed. And it's our job to listen to those details so that she does really feel heard, just like we like being heard in our wiring, which is so different.
Yeah. And it can take longer sometimes because details just take longer. So just recognizing that if we're in a different core value, we need to really use the best of that core value to lean in and to, if you're not a banker. So using our own core value, my merchant would say, well, I want to love the core values in myself and in others. So I'm going to sit here and listen to all these details that I forgot and honor that. Or my innovator said it would be really wise to get Adonai's perspective on this and to make sure that we stay in right relationship or we're efficient. We don't end up having a long blown up argument because we're going out tonight as a family. So I want to make sure I do this really well. Whatever your core value, Jeff Spilder would say, this is just the next thing you do. You ask her, did I miss some facts? And then being able to actually give her a chance to name those facts is on the list of to-dos for a builder.
The other expression that bankers will use in their withdrawal, which is aloof judgment, is always going to be some form of withdrawal. I'm not going to talk to you and share more knowledge and information. You should have known that.
Or they
maybe
just
is
don't.
What they're thinking. And they can also disappear. They can also remove themselves from the picture physically. So, you know, in times a conversation doesn't go very well, there's an offense of some sort. She goes to her room, closes the door, wants to be by herself. Best thing I could do in a situation like that, if I contributed to it by not listening well or not remembering something that was important, whether unintentionally or intentionally, like I got impatient, is to give her time and give myself some time to make sure I can regulate. Then to knock on that door, if it's shut, asking for permission is a very important banker sense of justice here, right? There's a right way of doing things. May I come in? You know, and I'm not abdicating my responsibility as a father. I'm actually honoring who she is. This is showing her how to even do this while I'm practicing the very thing I'm espousing is important. And then I would say to her, I must have missed something here. Did I not honor your knowledge or justice? Was I not honoring the details? Was I not remembering something? And then I get quiet. And I've given her the opportunity then to share the details and I'm listening. I try to mirror those back to make sure that she knows that I understand her accurately. If I need to ask for forgiveness for not honoring that, I do. And when I do, here's the thing about bankers. When they say, yes, I forgive you, they mean it. It's clear. But it takes a while to get there for them because of the details. Everything that maybe happened in the offense happened in detail. So that's the process of engaging. And that's another sign of a banker's withdrawing an aloof judgment is literally leaving. You know?
Yeah. There's so much nuance here and so many examples. And this is part of what we do in taking people through the process. We'll tell you at the end here how to actually access the CVI. And you know that we're here to help in lots of different ways. And our team is as well. But let's finish with the merchant example. We're both merchants. And so we can offend each other if one of us is in merchant and the other one is not. You can only be in one core value at a time. And so sometimes it can feel like a Jekyll and Hyde, like, wait a minute, we were just being playful and fun. And now you're in a different core value and I'm in efficiency and Jeff's in builder mode trying to get things done. And so merchants at the core of what they need is love, right? Which is about tone. It's about kindness and making sure that we're seen as people. Do you hear my heart? Do you understand who I am? Authenticity are really important. So when they're offended, you'll start to see merchants either start to give you people pleasing. For me, I feel my merchant in my gut. So when I'm starting to feel like we're not being truthful with each other, I'm not maybe being as honest about where I'm really at, I can start to feel my gut going off inside. Or if I feel like Jeff's tone is a little bit too direct, like I just am needing a lot softer of a tone. So I have a choice. I can bring it up and I can say, hey, and you hear me say this all the time. Can you bring it down a notch? Or he's not yelling. He's just in builder. He's literally, and I'm a 7 builder. So my smaller builder, people think I'm more of a builder than I really am. Mm-hmm. It's because I have a high truth meter in my merchant. So I can be very truthful with mm-hmm. love, which can sound builder, but the tone always is softer. Mm-hmm. And that's because of my merchant. So tone matters to me. And so I can just say, hey, I want to hear you, but can you shift that? And Jeff's really fast to be like, yeah, let me see it. And then as soon as he softens it, I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Are you noticing that merchants feel everything? You used the word feel several times in this last bit. And that's the key for them is it's about feeling. And they do feel everything. And as a high merchant, that when we're both in that core value, that we do really well. That's actually a strategy that will even just to say sometimes when you and somebody else are missing each other, if you have a common core value that is high in number, shift to that value and relook at the same problem that you were just discussing and watch what happens.
So it sounds like this. We're really having a hard time talking about this. Can we try again tonight and let's come as our merchants? And then we'll talk about the same thing, but with softer, more feeling oriented, more playful. Those are the nature. Yeah. My innovator is more serious and more complex thinker. Jeff's builder is more direct and a little bit more demonstrative.
Want to get to action,
and
get it off the list.
Just that approach, being able to meet each other where we're at. And so as a shared value, we both start at merchant. That's the best place. And that's usually where people meet us. You might get us an innovator builder in our individual, but when we're together, we're generally more in merchant and we access builder and innovator, you know, sparingly.
I tell people in businesses and in organizational teams the same wisdom. If you're missing each other and there's a rub or some sort of anxiety begins to show for one or both of you or more, look to shift to a common core value. Literally be like, hey, I remember that we both are also bankers. So let's look at it. Can we shift into that mental frame? Shift over there and kind of look at the same thing with more detail, more in the space where we can get into look for needles and haystacks and the facts and the logic. And, you know, whatever that common core value is, that's a great starting place to go to when you get stuck. Mm. Or even if you're not stuck, to just go there from an efficiency standpoint, because that means that you have natural hardwired empathy to start with and to see one another and to see the situation.
Yeah.
So
it's so good. We don't have enough time to keep going. We've got to wrap up, but I hope we've given you maybe something, just one little nugget that you heard us share today, because my innovator hates giving you one little drop in the bucket when I know there's a whole context here and a journey for people in their core values index. And so this part of the journey is conflict is kind of later. It's more the graduate level of core values. But if there was something you can practice here, even if it's just starting with yourself, mm-hmm. And maybe even realizing like the other people around you aren't trying to hurt you or offend you, it is just the conflict of our different core values the contributions that we make.
Generally, people aren't trying to do that. But when they are trying to do it, it's never okay. Yeah, so we call it the art of shifting. Learn how to shift. And learn the art of shifting. Notice the physical signs in your body. That's the key as the warning system. Make the shift. Mm-hmm. See if that helps calm your brain and your body down. If you do need to take a break, call the break for yourself. It takes 30 minutes if you've totally dysregulated and you are in your conflict strategy. Give yourself 30 minutes to get blood back from your amygdala, where it's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, or aloof judgment, intimidation, interrogation, or manipulation. And then come back in. But if you call the timeout, make sure you call the time in before you leave so that the other person isn't left hanging. That's not
like, I'll get
either.
Back to you tonight, or I'll get back to you tomorrow, or give me a half hour. Mm-hmm. That's what you mean by calling it back in before you leave.
Yeah. Fight fair.
Yeah. For otherwise people feel abandoned and it adds to unsafe relationship dynamics. So I want to end with this just general principle. I get asked a lot by usually pastors or leaders in the church. You know, sometimes we focus too much on our wiring, and when do we just need to like lean into the scripture and the Holy Spirit? And we just as strong believers who love the word and love the church and believe deeply in the power of what God is doing, he's the one growing the fruit in us. He's the one transforming us. This isn't something we're white knuckling. We just often will say, he's the one who designed us this way. And honestly, if we can learn to do this a little bit better as a church and as families and as organizations, we actually would be looking and living a little bit more like Jesus. And so often the conflicts come into there's only one way to follow Jesus or to look like Jesus or to, act like Jesus. And core values is really coming alongside saying the body of Christ is amazing and we need each other. We all reflect him together. And we all have vulnerabilities that are a little bit different. And so I just feel really led to say that. Maybe there's just one person out there listening that needed to hear that. But just that pushback often gets, sometimes we in a Western culture focus too much on personality assessments. Mm-hmm. And the core values actually goes beautifully with keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, that anxious, that learning to shift. But it gives us a beautiful roadmap to be known and to know others, to love God and to love others as we love ourselves. So we'll end with that. If you're interested with CBI and you want to know, you're so curious now, who am I? Who are the people I'm working with? Who are the people I'm in living with? You can go to livingwholehearted.com. You can take it on our homepage or go / you're going to find the core values. You're going to offer a free one or you can pay for the full one, which is $49.95. It'll give you all your numbers. And then our team is here. We've got professional counselors, executive coaches. We do this with teams. We do this with individuals. And our favorite thing to do is with our cohorts.
Yeah, the free version is just the same. The same assessment. They just give you your top two core values with no numbers. And the numbers are the key. So yeah, if you wanted the numbers and you want to see all four, then you just upgrade it and your original assessment just becomes fully visible. Yeah. So that hopefully... you'll get a chance to have some great conversations. People take this and they love to start talking about what they're noticing. Yeah. It has been profound. It has a profound impact in our lives as a couple, as parents, in our organizational teams and systems, and in the work with our clients, both in the clinical world and in the executive coaching organizational development world. I'm only using it because it works.
Yeah, that's true.
Builders don't use stuff that doesn't work.
That's true. And we're trained in 21 assessments. That isn't a humble brag. That's not a brag. It's we've just been around the block in ministry and counseling and leaders. And so all of them have their place. Yeah. They're good. This one just feels the most efficient and most holistic in the way that we approach it. We also think it's the most accurate as well.
Getting close to what all of them are trying to do, the fingerprint, right?
We might be a little biased, but the data actually.
Unchanging hardware.
That's where I geek out in Banker. Yeah. I'm like, the data actually says and proves compared to some of the other assessments. So at the end of the day, we're just glad that you're with us and you keep hanging out with us. Pass us on to a friend. But I really love showing up with you. Thanks for being here today, Mr. Jeff.
Good to be with you too.
Until next time, continue growing into becoming the leader that you would follow.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Began, one of the executive leadership coaches at Living Wholehearted. And I love what I do as a coach, especially in our cohort setting. That's why I'm excited to tell you that we are starting a 2-year women's executive leadership cohort in April of this year. And I don't want you to miss out. You might think as a leader, there's no way I can take 2 years to do anything. But we've designed our cohort specifically to be doable for the high-level leader. Through one-on-one coaching that is easy to schedule, to once-a-month virtual group coaching, and then 4 amazing retreats at our Living Wholehearted Lodge and Retreat in beautiful Sherwood, Oregon, in the heart of wine country. We will look at who you are and how your story matters. We'll look at how you're wired and why it's important to be who you are. And then we'll look at how you have the potential to impact not just your leadership, but your family, your community, and your world. Hope you join us.